The Old Testament reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 43. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For if I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, so that they might declare my praise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The New Testament reading is the letter to the Philippians, chapter 3. If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the Gospel according to John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honour. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. This is the word of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's a lovely gospel story, that one, I've always thought. Mary took a pound of costly perfume, anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Imagine for a moment, if you will, how that house must have smelled. At work, I've had to have a word with the cleaning company to ask them to change the product they use on our floors, as the smell was making several of us feel unwell. It was a sort of bubblegum smell. Would you prefer pine? I was asked. And I said, yes, of course, because pine or lemon just smell clean. And I quite like watching TV programmes about buying and selling houses.
It's a tip I've picked up. If you want someone to be interested in a property, bake bread or brew fresh coffee. Because these are smells that people like, and a smell can affect what you think of a place, or a memory of a place, or a life experience. We rarely, indeed probably never, use the sense of smell as part of our worship here, although of course in some churches they are liberal with the incense. Using incense was certainly a feature of worship of the people of Israel throughout the Old Testament. In Genesis, when Noah, after the flood, built an altar to God, it was an altar of thanksgiving and worship. And the Bible says it was an altar offering a sacrifice of praise to God, and it was a sweet-smelling aroma. All through the books of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers, the Bible speaks of that sweet-smelling incense offered up to God through a burnt offering. And then in Paul's letters to the early Christian communities, we find reference to fragrant offerings to God. We've heard from his letter to the Philippians this morning, and later on near the end of that letter, Paul talks about the gifts that he has received, including a fragrant offering, a sacrifice, he says, acceptable and pleasing to God. Well, Mary certainly used her extravagant and smelly gesture as a form of worship to Jesus. And I think as we immerse ourselves in this story this morning, there's a lot that we can learn about how we worship Jesus, looking at the characters that John describes. Who do you most identify with? Where would you be in this story? Firstly, notice how welcome Jesus is in this home. It was a place where his friends were, a place where he could rest. I'm sure Jesus at times grew weary and looked forward to these times of serenity and peace. And here was a home in which Jesus was the honoured guest. And it's a question which I think as Christians we should ask ourselves. How welcome is Jesus in my home? As followers of Christ, we should strive to have homes where Jesus is always the unseen guest. And we should strive to live the kind of lives in private that could be viewed publicly without any embarrassment or shame. And then let's look at the people that are mentioned by name in this story. We've come across Mary before, sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening and learning from him. And now we're told about this wonderful, extravagant, and slightly strange gesture. She anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. Mary gave her very best to Jesus. This perfume was costly, and yet she used it all on him. And she was also willing to humble herself. One commentator has noted that since a woman's hair was thought to be her glory, she really was laying her glory at his feet. She was giving up her pride without respect for what others thought, and she was worshipping him, honouring him in humility. Another thing that strikes me about Mary is that she really seized the moment. She didn't have to pencil in her diary some time to be with Jesus to honour him. She did it when the opportunity presented itself. She was ready and eager, and so she was able to do it at a moment's notice. And I think that might be what Jesus was saying when he said that the poor we always have with us. It's a very easy passage to misunderstand there what Jesus is saying, and to wonder how could he be so cruel or insensitive towards the less fortunate. But actually, if we stop to think about it, nothing could be further from the truth. If you think about the ministry of Jesus, we most often find him with the poor and the dispossessed. What Jesus is saying in this instance is that we must honour him, serve him, whenever we have the opportunity. Then let's think about Martha. John tells us they gave a dinner for him and Martha served. And of course, again, this isn't the only time that we've heard about Martha cooking, serving, giving the best of her heart to God through the gift of hospitality. Because you see, for Martha, honouring Jesus, worshipping him, meant serving him, doing that which she loved to do, that which she knew best, cooking and serving. That was her gift, and I bet the wonderful aromas of her cooking filled that house as well as the perfume. We wouldn't be enjoying this service now if it weren't for the Marthas serving. Somebody has cleaned the church building. Somebody made sure the heating was on. We wouldn't have the microphones or music for our hymns. There'd be no Sunday school and we'd never enjoy food or fellowship. Serving Jesus in worship by giving of ourselves is indeed a gift to God. And then there's Lazarus. The Gospel mentions Lazarus and simply says he was one of those reclining at the table with him. While Martha wanted to serve Jesus, Lazarus was simply enjoying his presence. He too wanted fellowship with him, to talk with him, ask questions and listen to him speak. He wanted to enjoy every minute he had with the Lord. And as some of us have been reminded during our Lent groups, there's nothing wrong with simply being enjoying in the presence of God. There are times and places where we are to be still and know that he is God. And maybe that's what Lazarus and the others at the table with him were doing. They were enjoying fellowship with him. Lazarus himself was, of course, a walking witness, because we mustn't forget that he'd been the star of the show, as it were, when Jesus raised him from the dead. I saw a stage play a few years ago which raised some interesting questions about Lazarus and his state of mind after he'd had that experience. There must have been a lot of questions that other people wanted to ask him. Did it hurt? Did it tingle? Did you see a bright light? Were you in heaven? What was it like when you woke up, Lazarus? Would have been great, wouldn't it, to have been there to hear his answers. And we're told in verse 9 of our passage this morning that the great crowd of Jews came, not just to see Jesus, but also to see Lazarus. And it would seem that the great crowd were not turned away. John tells us also that the chief priests planned to kill Lazarus as well, since it was on account of him that many people were believing in Jesus. Lazarus worshipped Jesus by spending time with him and by talking about what Jesus had done for him, sharing his experiences. We could do the same. And the last character that really does need a mention is Judas, because he's a real contrast to the others. While they are worshipping, Judas is consumed with a desire for things of this world. As I said before, his comment probably sounded reasonable at the time, indeed in some respects still does. Why was this ointment not sold and the money given to the poor? A year's salary poured out in one moment, couldn't it have been put to better use? And so I think we should admit that Judas's concern is understandable, because we certainly should be good stewards of what God has given us. But as I said, the circumstances made this act appropriate. Judas wasn't really concerned for the poor. He was, we're told, more concerned with building up the bank account so that he could steal from it. His desire was to have power in this world. He didn't see the significance of what was to come. He couldn't see the cross before them or Christ's eternal kingdom. May it never be said of us. So as we enter into this season of Passiontide, with Palm Sunday next week, followed by Holy Week, let's ask ourselves, how will we worship? Will we be mindful of Jesus in our homes? Spend time just being with him? Serve others, and in doing so, serve him? Witness to what he has done for us all. And most of all, will we give our all? Will we be extravagant? Mary took a pound of costly perfume, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. May our lives and our homes be filled with the fragrance of our worship, in whatever form that may take. Amen.
Please sit for our prayers.
Lord, you call us to a journey, to a never-ending quest, always seeking new horizons, always looking for the best. As we journey through Lent with you, we pray for a greater understanding of your sufferings and all you had to bear. In our everyday lives, it is sometimes too easy to yield to temptation and take the wrong path. But you gently guide us back with your love, no matter how many times we stumble and fall.
We are safe in the knowledge that you are our guide. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all power, you reign supreme over all the earth. In your world where there is trouble, bring your healing and peace. Where there is hatred, your pardon, please. And where there's no hope, true faith in you. Use us as your eyes, your ears, and your voice. May we respond to your call. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all wisdom, we ask you to be with all who attend our APCM this morning. We give thanks for those in our congregation who are willing to stand and represent us. Search our hearts and speak to us in these quiet moments and make us respond to any calling you have for us. May we be a people of power who build your church here in London Coney and make it strong in your name. Lord, in your mercy. Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're the world, you're the best, and you fill the hearts of all who care for others with tenderness. We pray for our family at St. Peter's and all who are sick or suffering in mind, body or spirit. Today we think of Marjorie and Phyllis recovering from surgery, and we pray for the families of those recently bereaved. And we think of those whose year's mind falls at this time. Edith Kitchener, Eva Trapp, Anne Kennedy, Janet Trapp and Michael Ivory. May they rest in peace and rise in glory. We bring our lives to you and all who need us as a daily offering to you, our servant King. Lord, in your mercy. A prayer for Lent. L is for listening and learning more about you. E is for the endless love you give us and for Easter morn when you rose again. N is for nestling in your arms and the nurturing you bring. And T is for the talents you give us on earth and for the treasures you have stored up for us in heaven. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.